Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Questions remain this morning, less than 24 hours after a deadly shooting on UNC's campus. We've teamed coverage this morning as we work to confirm information about the identity of the faculty member who was killed.
And brand new information. We just got the 8 o'clock advisory in from the National Hurricane Center. I'll show you what's changed and when we can expect to see rain and wind.
This one's different. It just feels, has a ominous feeling about it.
Yeah, people in Florida bracing for that hurricane this morning. Straight ahead, the help being sent down to the Gulf from right here in North Carolina. This is an all hands on deck effort. This is becoming a very big storm. So Elizabeth will have more on that coming up. But thanks for joining us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, thanks for making us part of your routine here on our Tuesday. Yeah, resources from North Carolina. We're sending the WRL storm tracker down there into it to follow it up the coast and into the Carolinas. Elizabeth Gardner and the WRL Severe Weather Center with that brand new information on its track.
Yeah, we get an update at 5, 8, 11, and 2 a.m. and p.m. And the 8 o'clock and the 2 o'clock one just gives us an update on the position of the storm and its wind speed, its movement. But we don't get a new forecast track. So if you're just joining us, it became a hurricane in the 5 o'clock advisory. It's moving north at 14, winds now at 80 miles per hour. It is likely to rapidly intensify as it gets closer to Florida. So by 2 a.m. tomorrow morning, 120 mile per hour winds. Landfall time is going to be, say, 9, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. Of course, those strong winds will do a lot of damage. We'll also have high storm surge, up to 12 feet in the area that's north of Tampa. We're going to go over the storm surge and the rainfall totals for Florida. Also for our area, the big change with this new path from 5 o'clock, if you're just joining us this morning, it's a little farther west, so potentially inland a little longer over South Carolina, and then it wanders around potentially in the Atlantic, just sort of stalling before it gets to Bermuda. And if it stalls there for the weekend, it's likely to kick up the surf and cause more erosion, possibly overwash on Highway 12 as we get into the weekend. We're looking at some rain and some wind in our area, but it doesn't look like it will be anything that causes any major problems. Of course, closer to the coast, there's going to be a little more of that. So we'll talk more about specifics coming up. A small chance of a thunderstorm late tonight. We do have a cold front that'll move in, and that'll start to interact with Idalia's rainfall by the middle of the afternoon tomorrow, making it fairly heavy and widespread all the way through the triangle by 5 o'clock tomorrow. And then gradually, the storm will move up to the coast and start to push that rain out. That's going to happen during the afternoon on Thursday. So we're looking at Wednesday afternoon through Thursday afternoon for the heaviest rain and wind. Hurricane Franklin, major hurricane out in the Atlantic. That is causing high rip current danger. And of course, it moves out, but then Idalia will move in almost to that same spot and continue to kick up a lot of heavy surf. We're dry right now, but cloudy in most places. Durham is gray. Temperatures in the mid-70s. It's a muggy morning. Temperatures this afternoon will be in the upper 80s, feeling like mid-90s, and a stray thunderstorm this evening. Brian?
8:03 as we check traffic, and we've been watching delays on the Beltline, but we have some good news. That earlier crash on 440 westbound right around Wade Avenue has cleared. Still seeing just a little bit of a lingering delay, especially between Six Forks Road out toward Glenwood Avenue. Once you get through Glenwood, it looks pretty clear heading toward Lake Boone Trail and Wade. You add that delay in with the usual backups between 87 and Capitol Boulevard. Right now, we're looking at about a 9-minute backup along 440 westbound. Want to check in on the Clayton Bypass and generally in the Cleveland area. First of all, look at this crash at 42 at Cornwallis Road with some heavy delays in both directions of 42 between I-40 and the Clayton Bypass. Need to allow plenty of extra time through there. Our partners at Waze are reporting that's a minor crash, but it is having a major effect on the commute through that area. Also, some overnight construction lingering here into the morning commute, creating some big delays on the westbound Clayton Bypass from 42 out to the I-40 interchange there, heading toward Garner, an 8-minute backup through there. A lot of people are using 70 Business westbound as a good alternate route out of Clayton, but we had an earlier crash right around Guy Road, and that really backed things up. So we take a look at that live camera. The crash is gone, and it looks like the delays are starting to ease up a little bit there on that westbound side of 70 Business right now, looking at about an 8-minute delay overall from downtown Clayton up toward the Garner area. In Durham right now, seeing some delays building on 885 in both directions, but overall, I-40 and I-85 are looking pretty good. Look out for an earlier crash in Northwest Raleigh at Glenwood Avenue at TW Alexander Drive, and it looks like an earlier crash reported on Capitol Boulevard at Old Buffalo Road has largely cleared, and the southbound traffic is starting to ease up quite a bit heading to the Beltline.
Thanks, Brian. All classes and campus activities at UNC are canceled today after the on-campus shooting yesterday left a faculty member dead and has students sheltering in place for hours. This is video from the scene there yesterday where there was a huge police presence for hours. And we're working to confirm the name of the faculty member who was killed in that shooting. Meantime, classes did resume for students in Chapel Hill, Carrboro City schools after a lockdown on their first day back to school. WRL's Laura Levine is on UNC's campus this morning. And Laura, still a lot of questions about what happened and why.
Jeff, still a lot of questions. And you know what? Standing here on campus today, it is a very sad feeling lingering in the air. As you mentioned, all classes are canceled. And this comes only a week after students returned back to campus for the start of the new school semester. So we're at Caudill Labs, and this is where really everything took place when a faculty member was shot and killed. Take a look at this video. Only our crews obtained the arrest of the suspect, Tai Lei Chi, after an hours-long search and campus lockdown. Today, we're working to learn more about a motive as investigators continue to question Chi. As we know, he was a UNC doctoral student. This is chilling video, which shows students jumping from windows trying to find safety upon first learning of an active shooter on campus. Students were locked in rooms and classrooms on edge waiting for any updates. We spoke with Aiden Scott, who worked on a project with Chi last year in a machine learning class. He says he seemed like a very isolated person.
In hindsight, I would guess that he probably didn't have a very strong network here, because I get the impression that he went to some other university from out of the country, so he was probably very new and very out of his element here, and he was also very quiet, so I could easily see a situation where he didn't have that many people close to him.
So just minutes ago, about 5 or 6 minutes, UNC Chapel Hill opened a hotline for parents, students, and faculty members to call if they have any questions about the shooting. As I've mentioned, we're still working to learn more about the motive, but we're also working and gathering more information, trying to learn who that victim is. Laura Levine, WRL News, live at Chapel Hill.
This was terrifying for everyone involved. UNC's chancellor spoke at a news conference yesterday, saying he had an opportunity to talk to the people who were at the building at the time of the shooting.
Yeah, I had a chance to go over along with the provost and others to talk with the faculty who were there in the building at the time of the shooting and some of the students. And they're certainly traumatized, but I want to commend those who were in the building.
Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz also praised the Emergency Operations Center and campus police for the way they managed the situation.
And Chapel Hill's Mayor Pam Hemminger is also thanking first responders for their work to keep people safe and informed as the active shooter situation played out. In a statement released last night, she also said in part, "We extend our thoughts, prayers, and support to the victims and their friends, families, and colleagues. We know that this will be a difficult time and encourage you to reach out to someone if you need any emotional or any mental help." And to Florida now, Idalia officially becoming a hurricane around 5 o'clock this morning. As the storm is growing stronger, the Red Cross is sending a disaster response vehicle from North Carolina to Florida today to help prepare for its arrival. That vehicle is leaving from Charlotte at 8:30 this morning. The agency says it plans to send more volunteers from North Carolina in the days to come. And coming up in 10 minutes, we'll explain why storms with I names are retired more often and how many of those have been retired in just the last 2 decades. The WRL Storm Tracker is also on the way to Florida. We have crews on the way to the coast, our coast as well, to track the impacts of the storm. You can look for live reports this afternoon.
As you send your kids out to catch the school bus, Wake County Schools is working to try to keep drivers on the job. Wake County Board of Education will consider changes to bus driver incentives today at a work session. That includes giving drivers a fuller paycheck for their first full month of work of the school year. And Wake County Schools is starting off now with 560 drivers. District says it needs a total of 882 drivers to provide the best service and cover all routes. The board plans to vote on the new bus driver incentives at its next meeting next week.
Coming up, nearly 5,000 pilots are suspected of lying about having serious medical conditions. How investigators were able to find the inconsistencies and the consequences some of those pilots are now facing.
Here's a look at the current path for Hurricane Dahlia. It is likely to move across the southern part of North Carolina and then out into the Atlantic. I'll show you why it might stall there over the weekend and what that means for North Carolina coming up.
Celebrating 18 years with Wake County Public Schools, this is Jane Ferguson at Brooks Museum Magnet Elementary School. She teaches English to immigrant and refugee students. Ferguson says there's nothing more rewarding than watching a newcomer student grow over the course of the year. Thank you, Jane, and all the teachers out there who are making a difference.
Welcome back on your Tuesday morning. Time now is 8:13. You're looking live at Carolina Beach. All is calm for now. That's going to change in the coming days with this hurricane down in Florida right now. We are watching WREL News, available on Hulu and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. All eyes on Hurricane Dahlia right now, churning up toward Florida. Elizabeth, expected to make landfall sometime Wednesday, I believe, in the morning.
Yeah, tomorrow morning. We'll walk you through what looks like will be the timeline for that. Take a look at the storm here. This is a new advisory that just came in at 8 a.m. 320 miles southwest of Tampa. It has winds at 80 miles per hour, moving northwest at 14. We take a look at the warnings. Hurricane warning in effect for definitely Tampa northward along that coast of Florida. But we also have a tropical storm watch in effect for Savannah and Charleston. So far, it hasn't spread northward on up into North Carolina, but I wouldn't be surprised if we go under a tropical storm watch in the Wilmington area. We'll let you know as soon as that happens. But it hasn't happened yet, and we'll get the next update at 11 o'clock. This is going to be a serious thing for folks here along the coast of Florida, north of Tampa. See the red shaded area? That's where we could see a storm surge of up to 12 feet. And the ocean here is very shallow and it's a very low lying area. So 12 feet above normal in terms of the sea level is going to do a lot of damage. So wind, storm surge are going to be really the big things for folks in Florida. In Tampa, they're in orange. That could be 6 to 9 foot storm surge. We have the potential for a 3 foot storm surge from Savannah to Charleston. And again, I would imagine that we would see the same in Wilmington, up to a 3 foot storm surge. Winds are going to be a big deal for folks here in Florida as that storm comes ashore in the morning tomorrow around 9, 10, 11 o'clock with winds there up to 120 miles per hour. As it moves through South Carolina and into our area, the winds will be up to 60 miles per hour along the coast. But for our viewing area, they'll be much lower. So max wind in the triangle likely to be 30, 35 miles per hour. That's not generally enough to cause much problem, but we get to 45 miles per hour in Fayetteville. That may be enough to knock down a few trees. And then, of course, 50 to 60 along the coast could cause some minor damage there. We take a look at our power outage potential. Certainly North Florida at a high risk for that. But otherwise, we're looking at just a medium risk right along the coast in North Carolina. Our local threats look like this. Wind is going to be a fairly low threat. Tornado, almost a zero, but not quite a zero threat. Wilmington would have a better chance of tornadoes. River flooding doesn't look like a big threat, but flash flooding is going to be our biggest threat, that heavy rain that we'll see out of the system. That's going to start midday Wednesday and last through mid to late day Thursday. We're going to walk through that coming up in just a little bit. We're still watching Franklin out here off the coast. That storm likely to produce some high surf, and that's going to produce high rip current danger and some beach erosion. And of course, once it moves out, we have a Dahlia that's going to sit here not too far from Bermuda through the weekend. That will also create heavy surf and beach erosion, rip current danger through the weekend. For us over the weekend, we've actually quieted down. Friday should be a pretty nice day with a high of 82 under sunny skies. We're sunny and hot through the weekend. Brian?
8:16, Elizabeth, let's get you an update on those backups on 40, or rather on 70 westbound, the Clayton Bypass westbound. Heavy delays right now from 42 out toward I-40. And in that general area, we have a crash at 42 at Cornwallis Road, creating some huge backups in both directions approaching that intersection. The delays on the eastbound side of 42 begin at the I-40 interchange there in the Cleveland community. And on the westbound side, they begin at the Clayton Bypass. So you need to give yourself plenty of extra time out there. That westbound trip right now on the Clayton Bypass, as we measured the latest update from the sensors, seeing a 4-minute delay overall. So it's improving a little bit as traffic volume eases just a touch. Also still seeing some lingering backups on the westbound side of 70 business as you head away from Clayton back toward the I-40 interchange in Garner. About a 7-minute delay there. We had an earlier crash around Guy Road. That has long since cleared, but we're still seeing some lingering delays. Elsewhere around Raleigh, looking pretty good on the Beltline. A little bit of brake tapping as usual on 440 westbound heading out toward Capitol Boulevard. Still have some activity perhaps on Capitol at Old Buffalo Road from an earlier crash, but it looks like that is easing considerably. Seeing some big backups on the northbound side of 885 in Durham. I just checked with our partners at Waze, not reporting any crashes or other incidents there. It looks like this is just congestion as you head out toward the TW Alexander Drive interchange out toward Ellis Road. About an 8-minute slowdown on the northbound side and about a 5-minute delay from the 147 merge down toward Ellis Road.
Thanks, Brian. There are just so many students who have a lot to process in the days and weeks ahead after the shooting at UNC. WRL spoke with a mental health expert about what they may be experiencing, those students. And they may not be ready to open up immediately, we're told, but the key is the follow-up and making sure these students know that there's help there when they're ready to talk about it. And Dr. Mary Henson says it's about building a culture that normalizes talking about their feelings and struggles.
We do want to make sure that we encourage them to say something. Then when they do say something, for us to listen and get support for them as well. And then for them to create a culture within your house, within your community, within your schools, to know if something seems off. If something seems off with someone, again, for them to say something.
Dr. Henson also encourages parents and guardians to be bold about sharing your feelings with your kids to normalize that kind of discussion.
This morning, more political problems are brewing after Republicans vote to temporarily silence a Democratic representative. The lawmaker is part of the Tennessee Three. Protesters were seen chanting in the gallery of the House in support of Justin Jones. Republicans voted to block him from speaking yesterday and debated keeping him quiet for the remainder of the session. Jones has been criticizing legislation to allow more law enforcement officers inside schools. He listed other resources the state should be providing as well. It's a move the Republican House Speaker ruled strayed too far off topic. Representative Jones says the vote to keep him quiet was anti-democratic.
He motioned so I cannot speak for the rest of the day. And so our Democratic caucus was united. We walked out because that's a charade, a sham happening in there. And the people are united, challenging authoritarianism.
Representative Jones says all the Democrats walked out together. Jones is one of three lawmakers who came under fire earlier this year from Tennessee Republicans for their roles in pro-gun control protests inside the state capitol.
And this just into the WRL Life Center, some helpful news for people who use certain drugs. You see the headlines right now from the Associated Press. Here's what it means. The Biden administration plans to add and target 8 drugs for price negotiations. The drugs include the diabetes treatment drug Jardiance and the blood thinner Eliquis. That means the Biden administration will negotiate directly with the manufacturers to help reduce Medicare costs. This is, of course, a developing story, and we'll continue to monitor it to see exactly what this will mean for you if you're on either of those drugs.
All right. Thank you, Ken. A security guard at a Florida HBCU is being hailed a hero after he potentially saved the shooting in Jacksonville from becoming an even bigger tragedy. Before 21-year-old Ryan Palmetto walked into a Dollar General store and killed 3 people, he went to the parking lot of nearby Edward Waters University. A group of students flagged down campus security officer Lieutenant Antonio Bailey, who quickly confronted him. Bailey spoke about that moment with NBC News' Gabe Gutierrez.
What appeared to be a tactical vest up on a shirt and mask.
Did you ever, in your mind, ever consider not confronting the suspect?
No, I did not. This is what we signed up for.
And Palmetto sped away and later opened fire at the Dollar General before taking his own life. The FBI is investigating the shooting as a hate crime. The local sheriff says it's not clear whether the gunman planned to target the university.
Well, here's something you don't see every day, especially in Florida, those empty boat docks right there. All the boats have been pulled out onto land ahead of Idalia as these pictures were taken in Steinhatchee, Florida. The storm is expected to impact the Sunshine State as early as tonight into tomorrow morning. Florida's governor has declared a state of emergency there. Now, Hurricane Idalia has the potential to join a notorious list of storms with names that start with I that are now retired because of their devastating, deadly impacts. When a storm name is retired, it's removed from the official name list used by the National Hurricane Center, so you never hear it again. Out of the 96 storm names that have been retired in the Atlantic Ocean since 1954, 14 of those were I storms. 12 were retired in the last 22 years, including last year's Hurricane Ian, 2021's Hurricane Ida, and 2020's Hurricane Iota. Some of you may also remember Hurricane Isabel hit the Outer Banks in 2005, causing extensive damage. Those eye storms often form when the season has reached its peak activity level.
One of Chicago's most famous sports fans is not letting age slow her down. Sister Jean threw out the first pitch at last night's Chicago Cubs game at Wrigley Field. Get this, she turned 104 last week. Look at her go. She looks fantastic. I mean, Sister Jean, she's amazing.
Yes, still a chaplain for the Loyola University men's basketball team, which is where it all started, you know, in 2018. When she was with them, their good luck charm, sending them to the Final Four in an improbable run that year. So still pitching.
Yeah, so special.
Good
I
for
love
her.
That.
Leave you with a live look. Tampa, Florida right now. Folks are bracing for the impact of Hurricane Idalia. What you need to know about the changes we've seen to the strength of this storm within the last 20 minutes. And we'll be right back.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
It is 8:26 on your Tuesday morning. I'm Michelle McConaughey. All eyes this morning on Hurricane Idalia, just becoming a hurricane this morning. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tracking this hurricane very closely and tracking the impacts we could see.
Yeah, it's a Category 1 hurricane now, likely to be Category 3 as it makes landfall tomorrow morning here on the northern coast of Tampa. Huge storm surge, lots of heavy rain and wind damage possible there. And then as we get through the day tomorrow, we start to see rain midday. We'll likely continue through mid to late Thursday. We'll see some winds gusting up to 40 miles per hour. And so we're going to talk more about our impacts coming up on Fox 50. Heading out the door right now, it's cloudy. Temperatures are in the mid 70s. It's going to be a fairly hot day, a little sunshine this afternoon with a high of 89. It'll feel sticky out there with a small chance for storms late today. Brian?
8:27 as we check traffic around the Triangle this morning. We're still seeing those delays on the westbound side of the Clayton Bypass between 42 and I-40. That's construction related. Also a crash at 42 at Cornwallis Road in that area, creating some pretty big backups in the Cleveland community. Take a look at the latest delays. According to sensors, on that westbound side of the Clayton Bypass, about a 3-minute delay between 42 and I-40. On the westbound side of 70 Business from Clayton up to the I-40 interchange in Garner, we're measuring about an 8-minute backup. And on 885 northbound in Durham, a lot of congestion this morning, about a 7-minute delay between I-40 and 85.
All right, thanks, Brian. All classes and campus activities at UNC are canceled today after a faculty member was shot and killed on campus yesterday. The suspected shooter is in custody. We're working to confirm the name of the person who was killed. And support is available today for students in Chapel Hill, Carrboro City Schools. After students were locked down during the shooting at UNC, it was their first day of classes. Next on Fox 50, a check back in with meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner as we keep an eye on
shot in 4K ultra-high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Here at UNC, an boarded-up window reflects the tragedy that took place where a student shot and killed a faculty member. We have the latest on the investigation and hearing from students who knew the suspect.
Students who attend Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools will return to the classroom today. Just ahead, how the school system is helping these students cope with yesterday's UNC campus shooting.
And we have the latest on Hurricane Idalia. Looking at the storm moving up toward Florida, is likely to be a major hurricane when it makes landfall. I'll show you how much rain and wind we could see and when.
And we give you a live look. We'll take it right down to Key West, Florida right now. The folks there are preparing for the impact of that hurricane as that storm is strengthening off the Gulf of Mexico. You see the trees blowing there, the palm trees going. This is going to hit a little bit further north of there. But I want to thank you for joining us. We are tracking it for you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, a lot of people heading down to Florida. It's an all hands on deck effort. I mean, the Red Cross from North Carolina is going down there. We have our storm tracker going down there. So we have you covered on all corners. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner showing us exactly where that hurricane is right now.
Right now, it is just north of Cuba, of course, headed up to the north part of the Florida coast there. It's moving north at 14 miles per hour with 80 mile per hour winds. It did become a hurricane in the 5 o'clock advisory. And then here, this is a look at the latest track, a category 3 storm before it makes landfall north of Tampa with winds at 120 miles per hour. Landfall is likely to be in the morning, maybe close to sunrise or as late as 10 a.m. So we'll continue to watch that. The difference in this track that came out at 5 o'clock versus previous tracks, it's a little farther inland with the center of circulation. Of course, you remember, you know, this storm could be, you know, easily 100 to 200 miles wide. So we're already going to start to see some rain starting around midday tomorrow, mid-afternoon, depending on where you are. And that will linger into the day on Thursday. The storm is likely to make this right turn out toward Bermuda and then stall out there off the coast of North Carolina. That's going to create rip current danger into the weekend and potentially some heavy surf that could cause some erosion. Take a look at Futurecast. We're not likely to have much chance of rain tonight, but a cold front will move closer to us, and that front will interact with the first rain bands starting to come through. Those rain bands will be coming through tomorrow afternoon and be heavy at times, especially with that boundary already in place. And then you can see the center of the storm late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning, and that slides off the coast and takes the rain with it late on Thursday. Of course, we still have Franklin out here. That's a major hurricane, and that is causing high rip current danger along our coast already, and could really just make for a double impact here with some heavy surf causing erosion from Franklin and then followed by Idalia. We're looking at dry conditions right now on the radar. And we're, of course, looking at, sorry, I didn't mean to have this in here twice. We're looking at a fairly quiet day today with a lot of cloud cover out there. Here's a look at Durham, 74 degrees as you're heading out the door. And our highs this afternoon will be in the upper 80s. We do have a chance of an evening thunderstorm. Again, coming up, we're going to talk about specifics in terms of how much rain we may see in different parts of our viewing area and how much wind.
And we're following some breaking news here in the WRA Live Center. We have just confirmed the suspected shooter in the UNC Chapel Hill shooting due in court later this afternoon. This is exclusive video of Tai Lei Chi being taken into custody a couple of miles from campus yesterday after that shooting that left that faculty member dead. Chi is currently being held in the Orange County Jail. Now, during this afternoon's court appearance, we will learn what charges Chi will face and some other information about this case. We will, of course, be in court and bring you the new information online at WRAL.com, in our WRAL news app, and in our news starting at 4 on WRAL.
All right, thanks, Ken. And all classes and campus activities at UNC are canceled today after that shooting there yesterday. We're working to confirm the name of the faculty member who was killed. Meanwhile, classes have resumed for students in Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools after a lockdown on their first day back to school. WRAL's Laura Levine explains that there are still a lot of questions about what happened and why.
It is a very quiet and somber day here on UNC's campus. Only a week after students have returned to the classroom, our class is canceled today because of that person who shot and killed a faculty member. Take a look here. You can now see that this window is all boarded up. Yesterday, we saw where that bullet pierced through this window at Caudill Labs. This is video here that only our crews obtained of the arrest of the suspect, Tai Lei Chi, after an hours-long search and campus lockdown. Today, we're working to learn more about a motive as investigators will continue to question Chi. As we know, he was a UNC doctoral student. This here is chilling video which shows students jumping from windows trying to find safety upon first learning of an active shooter on campus. Students were locked in rooms and classrooms on edge waiting for any updates. We spoke with Aiden Scott, who worked on a project with Chi last year in a machine learning class. He was stunned to see his face on the campus alert and news.
Kind of hard for me to cope with all of this because I would have never guessed that he would be the kind of person who could possibly be capable of this kind of thing. Every single time that he talked to me, he seemed very nice. Like one time for the first homework assignment, he was asking me questions about like how to do the problems. And I never got any sort of red flag that he could possibly even think to do this kind of thing.
And UNC Chapel Hill has opened a hotline today for concerned parents, loved ones, and community members who have questions about the shooting. And again, right now, the motive is still unclear at this moment, but we are working to learn and gather more information about the victim, the person who lost their life here. Laura Levine, WRAL News in Chapel Hill.
We also have another look at this disturbing video. It really gives us a little better perspective of the fear and terror students experienced on UNC's campus. Students jumping out of the window to try to get to safety. WRL spoke to the student journalist who captured this video that's now being seen across the country. Noah Harris says she was in class at the time when this all happened.
We got a big flash on the TV projector in our classroom that the teacher had his computer hooked up to. And it said, shelter in place, active shooter. At that point, for me, I didn't know what was going on because we had just been told that it was okay to leave the building. But then when we saw students jumping out the window, I didn't know if they had heard something that I didn't know. It was a confusing moment.
Yeah, Harris says it was hard to get information initially. Students were following the news and downloading police scanner apps on their phones.
Definitely a scary situation, and support is available for students in Chapel Hill, Carrboro City Schools today after a scary first day of classes. Schools went under lockdown during the shooting. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains what school officials are prioritizing this morning. Parents and families of students who had their first day of school here at Glenwood Elementary are breathing a sigh of relief today as students are now returning to the classroom. Cars were all along this road and into the parking lot as parents were anxiously waiting to pick up their children from school yesterday after hours of lockdown. Chapel Hill Carrboro City School Superintendent Naya Hamlet sent out a statement explaining that mental health support will be available for students. She says the school system support and wellness team will provide resources to help students have age-appropriate discussions to express their feelings. For many of these students, yesterday was their very first day of school. Kindergartners putting on their backpacks for the first time. Students like Sunitha Bullock's granddaughter.
It makes you nervous. It's a little scary and creepy at the same time. You just want to go get your child and you really can't. You're just helpless, actually.
Moments like this make you want to hold those little ones just a little bit tighter. And parents and school system staff are encouraged to go to the school district's care page on their website to find more resources and information. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Chapel Hill.
Here's what we know about the accused shooter, Tai Lei Chi. He's a second-year grad student in applied physical sciences. He joined the Yan Research Group at UNC in January of 2022. Chi holds a master's degree from Louisiana State University and a degree from Wuhan University in China. Police say the weapon used in the shooting has not been found, but police radio traffic from Broadcastify indicates they're looking for a 9mm handgun. And that's what they were trying to find when they got on campus there.
And our coverage will continue throughout the morning. In less than 10 minutes, the feelings of helplessness one UNC student shared with us.
Turning to other top stories we're following for you today. Police at NC State are working to learn more about a second reported sex crime on campus in just a matter of days. The school sent out a wolf alert just before 10:30 last night about a reported assault at Lee Hall. Police say the victim and the suspect are both students and they met through a dating app. They say they know who the suspect is, but he has not been taken into custody yet. The Wolf Alert was the second of the day reporting a sex crime. The first came out early Monday morning about a reported sexual battery at Owen Hall that took place Saturday night. In that case, NC State Police say two men were responsible, but they do not have the description of the suspects. The university says it has cameras in and around Owen Hall, and police are reviewing that video now.
People in Florida are getting ready for the arrival of a major hurricane as Idalia is strengthening in the Gulf of Mexico. People in the Tampa area are busy making sandbags. It's projected to become a Category 3 hurricane. Many people are buying wood to board up their homes and generators to keep the power running. Shelves at grocery stores are emptying very quickly as well as people stock up on water and food. The WRL Storm Tracker is also on the way down to Florida, and we have crews on the way to the North Carolina coast to track the impacts of the storm here. You can look for live reports this afternoon. And Governor Cooper is planning to issue an executive order today ahead of the arrival of Idalia. The order will aim to help farmers by issuing waivers, allowing them to move more livestock and products before the storm arrives.
Wake County School Board is considering a new policy to allow students as young as second grade to walk to school unsupervised. A school principal would be allowed to say no, but parents could sign a waiver allowing the students to walk anyway. Currently, there is no default permission, and that means a principal can bar students from walking and parents can't do anything about it.
Well, coming up, new information this morning about what may have started the deadly wildfires on Maui. What the Hawaiian Electric Company is now saying about a power line that went down the morning the fires broke out.
Plus, if you're already thinking about holiday travel plans, a new tool on Google can help you find the best prices. We'll tell you how it works next.
And we're going to take you live out to Clinton. We do have a chance of some storms later on today. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is back after the break with what we can expect this afternoon.
.845 is the time right now on our Tuesday morning, okay? And we are following those dark skies. This is a live look in Tampa, Florida, right off the beach there. A little bit of time before that turns into a situation. You won't want to be on the beach for too much longer out there as the clouds are moving in and the outer bands of Hurricane Idalia is coming our way, and you can see where it's almost on land now, Elizabeth.
It is. It's getting there, definitely. It's moved across Cuba. Right here is Cuba. Right here are the Keys, and we are seeing some rain bands moving across the Keys right now. And then you can see this band with some clouds, probably some embedded rain in this, too, almost to Tampa. And, of course, they're looking at a 12-foot storm surge. I just couldn't help but imagine what that's going to do to that beautiful beach we just saw, that live picture of. But there's going to be a lot of damage that's done to Tampa northward there in Florida. Right now it's 320 miles from Florida, moving north at 14 miles per hour, 80 mile per hour winds. Here's a look at some of those rain bands. You can see those rain bands moving right across Key West right now, and then approaching the coast of Florida near Cape Coral. And of course, as the storm continues to move northward, we'll see more of those rain bands pushing inland. Likely to be Cat 3 major hurricane by tomorrow morning, making landfall in the morning sometime between maybe 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. Of course, with storm surge up to 12 feet, which is, again, going to do a lot of damage. The storm, the center of the storm, may stay inland across parts of South Carolina. That's going to make that turn away from North Carolina, but we'll likely start to see some rain midday, mid-afternoon tomorrow. It's likely to continue until mid to late afternoon on Thursday. We do have a WRL weather alert day for Wednesday and Thursday. The storm is likely to move toward Bermuda, but stall, and that's going to continue to bring some heavy surf to the coast of North Carolina, possibly some overwash as that storm stalls out. Now, you can see how it makes steady progress. This is a look at the computer model plots. It cruises past North Carolina and then just stalls right here because of the steering currents. It's the upper level winds that move these storms around, and the upper level winds get really weak right about here. And so it's going to sit here off the coast, and that means high rip current danger and, again, some damage to our coastline. Here's a look at the forecast as we watch rain with this and move it forward. You can see landfall potentially there around 10 a.m. Don't take that too literally, but definitely going to be in the morning. And then potentially the center of circulation is onshore here inland. And of course, we're going to start to see the rain late Wednesday, definitely heaviest late Thursday night, early Thursday morning, and then it all starts to move out. And then, of course, it's going to sit and stall. But we should be finished with the rain by late afternoon on Thursday. We have a front that will interact with these first rain bands that come in for tomorrow. And you can see that developing again well before the evening commute. And then, of course, the storm continues to trek off the coast and takes that rain with it. We're going to see, of course, our biggest impact from this as the potential for some flooding. For tomorrow, it's a medium chance from Raleigh southward and a high chance along the coast. On Thursday, from Raleigh eastward, it's a medium chance for some flash flooding. We take a look at our potential rainfall totals, and we can see anywhere from, say, 2 to 4 inches around the triangle, as much as 4 to maybe 6 inches in some of our southern counties and some higher totals closer to the coast. So again, Wednesday and Thursday, WRL weather alert days. Our strongest wind gusts are likely to be 30 to 35 miles per hour here, but closer to the coast, it could be more like 50 to 55 miles per hour. The rain should be out of here by Friday, and we're dry and hot into the weekend. All right. Thank you, Elizabeth. Some UNC students say they're feeling helpless and hopeless after the active shooter situation on their campus. Sophomore Haley Brew spoke to WREL about her feelings after yesterday's shooting. She said as she was hunkered down with other students, she had to comfort a classmate because of the trauma that comes with shooter situations. It's a trauma she says she knows well, to the point where she and others her age programmed in how they respond.
Growing up in America, we've been conditioned by now to know to barricade our doors and to turn off the lights and to hide in the corner of the classroom and to stay quiet, because we've grown up in this day and age where school shootings have been happening since we were children.
And Bruce says she wishes that she could live in a place where gun violence is not an issue. She says she feels like there's nothing she or her classmates can do to stop these school shootings.
The federal criminal trial of Donald Trump will begin one day before Super Tuesday. This is for charges accusing him of trying to overturn the 2020 election. The judge overseeing the former president's case set the date yesterday. She says Trump will have to make the trial date work regardless of his schedule. Trump says the move is an attempt to undermine his presidential campaign, calling it election interference.
NASA and NOAA are teaming up to map air pollution over North America. The agencies are using 30 different instruments on NASA's DC-8 aircraft to measure air quality and chemistry. They're collecting data on which pollutants are causing the most pollution in the air. That includes compounds such as ammonia and methane, which come from agricultural business. They hope to use their data to develop better and more impactful environmental regulations. And new this morning, we're learning more about what could have started one of the Lahaina wildfires on Maui earlier this month. According to the Hawaiian Electric Company, power lines that fell during high winds seem to have caused a fire on the morning of August 8th. The electric company says power lines in West Maui had been off for more than 6 hours by the time a second afternoon fire started in the Lahaina area. Maui County is denying that, saying the electric company kept the power lines energized despite a fire warning. Meanwhile, officials say 99% of the impact zone in Lahaina has been searched, and that death toll still stands at 115.
The IRS is giving people more time to put some extra money into their retirement plans. The agency is planning to eliminate so-called catch-up contributions for higher earners. Those catch-up contributions allow people over 50 to put extra money into their 401ks and other plans beyond the employee deferral limit and before taxes. But now the IRS says it'll delay that change for 2 years. So that means savers of all income levels can still make pre-tax catch-up contributions through the end of 2025.
This weekend, the African American Cultural Festival returns to downtown Raleigh. It's a celebration of art, music, food, and community. You can buy handmade goods, artisanal foods, and traditional crafts. The music stage will include R&B, jazz, hip-hop, gospel, and more. This will be the 14th year of the festival. WREL is a proud community partner.
If you use Google Flights, you may notice a new feature the next time you use it. The site now allows you to check out airline schedules and compare flight prices. And it'll tell you the cheapest time to book a flight and also which destinations you should avoid around holidays, things like that, if you don't want to deal with crowded airports. For example, the new feature says that the best time to book flights for Christmas vacation is around early October.
Millions of people celebrated the big screen on Sunday with a special discount. Theaters across the country offer $4 tickets to all movies for National Cinema Day on Sunday. According to the National Association of Theater Owners, an estimated 8.5 million fans went to the movies. That is up 5% from the first ever event that was held last year.
Hunters in Mississippi spent hours over the weekend reeling in a state record. Look at this. The group caught a 14-foot, 800-pound alligator. The reptile was caught as part of an initiative to keep alligator numbers down. Public alligator hunting season runs August 25th through September 4th in that state.
You sure that thing's not a dinosaur? It's huge.
Not long ago, they were, but right. 800 pounds. Like, that thing looks 14 feet, 800 pounds. It looks bigger to
me.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's a big alligator.
Nasty. Yeah. Well, before we go to break, here are the winning lottery numbers for you. We'll get another check on weather and traffic coming up next.